and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Cover me with your blood, Lord Jesus. Anoint me with your spirit and have mercy upon these people before me today. Bible, friends, is you're not over acquainted with the Bible. Maybe you don't possess such a thing. They still tell me that the Bible is still the best-selling book in all the world. Strange, isn't it? But it seems as though, looking at the world, seems as though it's the least read book in all the world. But if you haven't got one, I offer you a copy this morning of the New Testament. It's the second part of the Bible in its entirety, and it's offered to you without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. Read, maybe, who knows. Perhaps you'll get some surprises. The best surprise of all, that is finding Jesus Christ to be a suitable Savior for you. So you'd like to have a copy of the New Testament, it's offered to you. Yours to come and take and do with as you will. Because the Bible is a revelation from God. It's called that because, it reveals things to us. Things that God would have you to know because you need to know them. Maybe you don't want to, but need to. And of course, it reveals things to us about God Himself, His character, His being. Reveals to us what He requires of us, of you and I. And it reveals to us, the consequences, really, if we don't take heed to what God says, to what He has, in fact, revealed. So that's why it's important that I point you to the Bible, to God's Word, not mine. That's why I come to you with an open Bible, that you understand where I'm coming from. It's not a message of men. Some people, they argue, the Bible was a book written by men. You really think so? Well, you need to take a look at how the Bible describes men, humankind. I don't think, if men wrote the Bible, I don't think they would describe men the way the Bible describes them. Far from it. So it's a revelation. It's things that God has revealed and things that you need to know about. And that's why I come amongst you once again here in Hanley Centre to bring to your mind and attention these things. The gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that's to be found in His name. First thing that you find here that God has, that God has revealed, He says in Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." I mean, what's there to be ashamed of in the gospel, in declaring God's message of salvation under God's Son, under God's heaven, standing on God's earth, breathing God's air? I mean, what on earth would we want to be ashamed of our Maker for? That people is the pathway to perdition, surely. You know, to be ashamed of God, embarrassed at God, the thought of God and talking about God. You deny me, Jesus says, before men, I'll deny you before my Father when I come with my holy angels from heaven. So it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone, not everyone who's religious, and not everyone head for head, but everyone who believes the gospel, that is, the good news about God's Son, Jesus Christ. For that's what the word gospel means, good news. It's good news about a person. That person is Jesus. That person is God's Son who came into the world to die, rise again from the dead, in order that salvation, rightness with God, might be yours and mine. For in it, in the gospel, that is, the good news, in it the righteousness of God is revealed. You see, that's the first thing I want to talk to you about here this morning, friends. The righteousness of God has been revealed. A righteousness, you see, that's not yours, not mine, it's not our own. The righteousness of God, the righteous requirements of God, the righteousness that God requires for a body to be right with God. Of course, well, eventually, one day when you're finished on this earth, when your time is done, when you die and leave this world, then you might go to heaven. But nobody gets to heaven on the basis of their righteousness, because your righteousness, my righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags, unacceptable to God, untouchable by God. Your righteousness, well, in a word, you don't have any. You're all shot to pieces, you know. We're all unrighteous. There's none righteous as God, not a single one. I mean, you might live self-righteously. You might live in self-righteousness. You know, it might be a religious variety. It might even be a godless, secular self-righteousness. A lot of self-righteous people, you know, they think they're good. They think they're okay. They think they're good for heaven, you know. And in their self-righteousness, you know, they look down their self-righteous noses at other people who are worse off than they are and detest them, despise them, you know. Self-righteousness, that's something, you know, that, well, Jesus, you know, in the Bible, you find, as you read the Gospels, as you read the New Testament, you find that Jesus ain't got nothing to say to the self-righteous, nothing at all. He says he came to heal the brokenhearted, he came to set the captive free, he came to deliver the oppressed, he came for all kinds of people, all kinds of sinners. See, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, all kinds of people, all kinds of sinners. But yet Jesus ain't got nothing to say to the self-righteous. God hates self-righteousness, because self-righteousness, well, it stinks in the nostrils of God. Self-righteousness, I'm okay, I don't need a Savior, I don't need God, I can do it myself, I can be my own God, thank you very much. Self-righteousness is an abhorrence to God. And that's why God, you see, He has revealed in the gospel, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The only righteousness that's acceptable to God, you see, in the gospel, in the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, people, it's important, you know, that you get this right, you know, that you understand. You understand that, you know, God requires a perfect righteousness. Well, you say, where do I find that? You find it in the gospel, friends. You find it in Jesus Christ. He is the revealed righteousness of God. The only man who ever lived a perfect life. The only man who, who never offended God, who never broke God's law. You know, who was absolutely and utterly without sin. And that's why he was qualified to go to the cross to be our sin bearer. You see, God so loved the world, the Bible tells us, he gave us his only Son, sent his Son into the world to live that spotless, that blameless life, to die and to rise again from the dead, so that you might be, through faith in his name, that you might be credited with the righteousness of God. But without Jesus, you got no righteousness. Without Jesus, you got no acceptance with God whatsoever. When I speak about John 3 and 16, most people have heard, most people know these words in our country today. But you know the words that follow on afterwards? Listen to what they say. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You see, people, and when Jesus came, he said he didn't come to condemn people, he came to save them. Well, he doesn't have to condemn them. I don't have to condemn you here this morning. You're already condemned if you don't believe in God's only Son, if you haven't come to the light, if you haven't received the righteousness of God. You're in a bad place, people. You're in a bad place, you see. You got no righteousness, and that means you got no right. You know, a lot of talk today about human rights, you know, and all this European nonsense, you know, the human rights treaty or whatever they call it, you know. What human right have you got? What right has anybody got? You got no right to heaven. You got no right to God. You got no rights at all, because they were all forfeited when man sinned. When man brought sin into the world and brought sin and death to all men, we forfeited all rights. We got no rights, people. The only rights we got are to the judgment and the holy displeasure, the divine anger of God. So you see, people, the revealed righteousness of God, the righteousness that God requires, what he requires of you, is revealed in the gospel. The grace of God has appeared to all men. How has it appeared? Where has it appeared? Where is it revealed? In the gospel, God says. The righteousness of God is in the gospel. Not in the Quran. Not in the writings of Buddha or Confucius. But people, in the gospel, God's Son, Jesus Christ, he is the revealed righteousness of God. And without him, without Jesus, no man, no woman can ever be counted righteous in the eyes of God. In fact, the very opposite. You know, going back to my point, you know, that men argue that, you know, it was men that wrote the Bible. Well, do you want to hear the Bible's description of men? Do you think men would describe themselves in this way? Filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That's the Bible's description of man. Do you think if man wrote the Bible, do you think that's, honestly think that's how he would describe himself? I don't think so. I don't think so. Not for a moment. But that's the state, you see. That's the condition. That's the status of every single one of us, naturally born. Born in sin, conceived in sin. And that's the way you come into the world, and that's the way you live, and that's the way you die, and that's the way you go to a lost eternity. Unless that is, unless you become righteousness in the eyes of God. Well, God made His Son, Jesus Christ. He made Him sin for us. You know, Him who knew no sin, He made Him sin for us. That is, He laid the sins of the world upon His own Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, in order that we, through faith in His name, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Righteousness is what God requires, a perfect righteousness. Such as you can't produce, such as you can't provide, such as you can't place before God's throne of judgment. Only Jesus, only He can give you that righteousness. Only He can make you right with God. But that's why I point you to the Bible. The gospel, you see, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. That's the revelation, you see, of God's Word, the Bible. The righteousness of God. How a person gets right with God, stays right with God, and is right with God for all eternity. But then there's something else that's revealed to us in the Bible. For the divine anger of God, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. That's, you see, what unrighteous people do. They suppress the truth about God in unrighteousness, in their wickedness. And as a result of that, because of man's sin, because of man's rejection of God and suppression of the truth about God, for God has made it plain to you, God has shown it to you, you even understand it, says God, that He is. Oh, you know that God is, just as much as I do, just as much as any other Christian does. You know that God is. You know that He exists. You know about His divine power and attributes. You know about God. But you see, His wrath is revealed from heaven against you in your ungodliness, in your unrighteousness, because of your suppression of the knowledge of God, the truth that God has revealed to you. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, you wouldn't be able to do anything. You wouldn't be able to do squat, you see, if there was no God. If this nonsense about evolution were true, you couldn't even have a meaningful thought. Never mind do science and philosophy, ethics and everything else. You can only do these things because God has revealed knowledge to us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Without the knowledge that God has given to us about our world, our universe, about ourselves, you could never do these things. But you do these things, philosophy, science, education, you do all of these things off the back of what God has revealed, the knowledge God has given to you. The Bible says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. He is here, has revealed knowledge to us. And that's why you're able to do the many things that you're able to do. But without God, the existence of God, you couldn't even have a meaningful thought. Never mind do science, technology, and everything else that goes with it. Now, you know that God is. You know that He is. But in your unrighteous state and condition, you suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in your unrighteousness. And for that reason, and this is the second revelation, you see, the wrath of God, that's an old-fashioned word, I know. The divine anger, the holy displeasure of God is revealed from heaven against you. Because of your suppression of the truth about God. So, you see, that's why you need my gospel. That's why I declare to you the revealed righteousness of God in the gospel, because it's only the gospel that can deliver you, save you from the wrath of God that's revealed against you, already being revealed against you. You say, well, where do I see the wrath of God? Where do I see the anger of God? Well, you'd see it in some what you call natural disasters, which are no such things. God is the first cause of everything. There's nothing, not even a sparrow falls to the ground without divine permission. So you see, there's nothing that happens in this world that's accidental or that's just natural. There's a cause behind everything. God is that cause. And you see in what you call natural disasters. You see many people taken out of this world, unprepared, unready for time and for eternity, for God and for His judgment. And they're whisked out of this world in a moment. Maybe a heart attack, a disease, somebody just falls down dead, you know, and they're taken out of this world. That can happen to anybody. The wrath of God, the divine anger of God is revealed in such things as these. But you see it elsewhere. You see it in the minds of men and women in your country today. You see, the Bible goes on to reveal to us the revelation of God, you see, concerning man, concerning our state, our suppression of the truth, and the divine anger of God as a result of that. Why? Because you've exchanged the truth about God, that is, for a lie. You live in self-deception. You live with this self-deception that there is no God. You know, trying to kid yourselves on. You live in delusion. You know, there is no God. You know, you can do as you please. You can live. You can express your sinful, wicked nature in any way that you please. And there's no comeback. There's no payback. There's no accountability. Yes, there is. For we're all of us naked and exposed to the one to whom we must give account, God Himself. We must all appear before the judgment seat of God. You give account, Jesus says, for every careless word that you speak. So you see, exchange the truth for a lie. Exchange the truth for a lie. So what's the exchange? Instead of God, instead of His righteousness, you've exchanged that for a lie. And what have you got in its place? What did you get out of the deal? What did you get out of the deal? You reject God, and so you accept something else. What is it that you accept? What is it that you get out of the exchange, exchanging God for a lie? This is what you get. Yeah? This is what you get. A debased mind. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. That's what you get in exchange. That's what you get for rejecting God. He gives you over to a debased mind. You ever wonder, you ever ask yourself the question, why the world's in the state it's in? Why your nation is a sink of debauchery, fornication? Huh? fornication, sodomy, all kinds of filth and uncleanness. You wonder why it's come to this place? That's why. That's why. That's where you see the divine anger. Because God, in His divine anger, has given you over to debased minds. And in your debased minds, what do you find? This is what you find. Filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That's the debased mind. That's what you've gotten in exchange for the true and living God. That's what He's given you over to. That is the divine anger, people. And that's where you see it. That's the revelation of the anger of God. You see it all over your society. You see it all over your own lives. And you'll find it in your own heart. That's the produce. That's the produce. You see? Forsaking the righteousness of God, rejecting the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, that's what you're left with. That's what you're left with. A debased mind given over, and more you live that way, the more and more that you reject the righteousness of God, the more and more He gives you over to debased minds. And your nation, your country, yourselves, your lives sink deeper and deeper and deeper into the morass of sin. So you see why you need the gospel. You see why you need my good news. You see why you need my gospel that I declare to you week by week. The righteousness of God. For in the gospel, you see, is revealed the revelation of the righteousness of God. How a person can get out of that unrighteous situation, status. How a person can get out of that debased mind and get into the righteousness of God is by repentance and faith towards God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only road out. That's the only way of escape. Now, you see, the Bible says, for the divine anger of God is revealed, the revelation of God's divine anger you already have amongst you. It's being revealed. But of course, there is the full and there is the final, consummate anger of God that you will face if you do not repent and believe the gospel. If you do not get into the righteousness of God. If you do not believe in God's only Son. You will perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that those who believe in Him should not perish. Should not perish. But you will perish if you do not believe. If you do not believe in God's only Son. Perish. Face. With the final, full blast of God's legal system. Now, I know that you like to judge. I know that you like to condemn other people, those whom you deem to be worse than yourself. But listen up, people. There's something else that God has revealed in His Word, and that is the judgment of God. The final judgment of God. Now you do some judging, you like to judge, you know, you pick up your newspaper and you read about somebody who's done some horrific crime, you know, to a man, a woman, a child, you know, some barbaric act. And what do you say, or what do you think in your mind? You say, that person ought to be executed. That person ought to be hanged. That person ought to be locked up and the key thrown away. You judge them. But God says, God reveals in His Word, every time that you judge somebody else, you condemn yourself. The because you do exactly the same things that you judge other people for. Yeah? Listen to what God says. Therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Because you the judge, practice the very same thing. Where did you get that sense of judgment from? You know, the way you judge other people. Where did you get that from? Where did you get that sense of morality? Well, you didn't get it from this. You didn't get it from evolution. You don't get morality out of evolution. If evolution's true, all you are is just a piece of chemical fizz. How do you get morality out of a piece of chemical fizz? Morality, laws of nature, laws of morality, whatever you want to call them, they come from an intelligent mind. Yeah? Not from a lump of matter. And of course that intelligent mind that you got them from is God Himself. But where do you get the sense of justice from? You know, that you use to condemn and to judge other people. Well, you get it from the God who made you in His own image. He's described in the Old Testament as the God who judges righteously. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. You see, He's the judge of all the earth who only ever does right. That's God, you see. He's the judge of all the earth. That's where you get the sense of justice from. That's how you come to be judging other people, because you're made in His image. You get it from the God who made you in His own image. But here's the thing, people. In your wickedness, in your unrighteous state and condition, when you judge and condemn others, you condemn yourself because you do exactly the same things. What things? Well, the things I read to you. Let me read them to you again. This is what you've got in the deal. This is what you got in the exchange. You reject God, and what do you get in exchange? This is what you get. Filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That's every single one of you. Every single one of us. That's what you get in the exchange, people. So, you tell me what right you've got to judge others. In that state and condition, when that's what fills your heart, your debased mind, pray tell me, what right do you have to condemn and to judge others? You see, when you judge others, God says, when you judge others, you condemn yourself. Because you practice exactly the same thing. Well, you see, I never murdered anyone. No? You ever been angry with anybody? You ever been unrighteously angry with anybody? Well, you've already committed murder in your heart. Because that's where murder comes from. It comes from anger in the heart. You ever done adultery? You say, no, I haven't. You ever lusted after the opposite sex? You've already committed adultery in your heart, says Jesus. You see, people, these are the things that exclude a man or woman from the kingdom of God. That keep man from God and will one day keep you out of heaven and bring you to judgment. Do you suppose, O man, says God, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Well, the answer to that question is no, you won't. But let me put that question to you. How does a person in such an unrighteous, in such a debased state of mind, such a person escape the judgment of God? Jesus posed that question to a bunch of religious men one day, so religion's not the answer. That won't, being religious won't enable you to escape the judgment of God. That doesn't work. Jesus said to these religious men one day, He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Well, because the heart of the matter, the root of the matter was that religion wasn't enough. Religion doesn't save. Religion doesn't put the life of God into the soul of man. Religion doesn't bring love. Religion doesn't bring liberty, freedom from these debased minds and from the judgment of God. So there's the question, people. The revealed judgment of God at the end of the age, it's appointed for you once to die, and then comes the judgment. Then you stand before your Maker, you give account for all you've done, said and thought, for your very sinful nature that you were born with. You give account for it all. After appointed to die once, after this, then comes the judgment. Then you stand before God. Then comes the final judgment. So how will you escape the judgment of God? That's the question. And that brings me back to the first revelation. The revelation of the righteousness of God. The revelation of God's righteousness. Yours is no good. Mine's no good. Nobody's is any good. Matters not whether you be religious or not. It's of no good whatsoever. That's not the righteousness of God. You won't find the righteousness of God in Roman Catholicism. That's what salvation. You won't find righteousness. You won't find the righteousness of God in Islam. That's works religion. You won't find the righteousness of God in any religion, people. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel and in the gospel alone. The good news, God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save, to rescue us from our debased minds. To rescue us from our unrighteousness. Why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not religion. He doesn't say, seek first the kingdom of God and religion. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's the righteousness of God that you need. And the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel and the Injil, madam. Not in your religion. In the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, who loves sinners, who came into the world, and who gave Himself up to the death of the cross, who shed His blood that you might be washed and made clean, that you might be forgiven, that you might be clothed in your right minds. Repent and believe the gospel. That's how you will escape the judgment of God. Repent and believe the gospel. The time is short, people. And you don't know how short. Your life is like but a breath, people. Here today and gone tomorrow. Maybe, who knows? Somebody here, it's your last day. You don't know it yet, but it is. It's your last day. Taken out of this world tonight, your soul's required of you by God this night. Where do you stand before God? Where do you stand before God? You and your own righteousness, you and self-righteousness. God despises self-righteousness. You and your own righteousness, you're lost. Thank you, sir. Thank you, madam. Thank you. You see, people, God is, in His kindness, His goodness and mercy, has revealed from heaven His righteousness in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And He's offered to you in the gospel. And in the offer of Jesus Christ, His Son is offered to you, the righteousness of God. You want to be right with God, then receive Jesus. He is the righteousness of God. Thank you. Thank you, man. He is the righteousness of God. You receive Jesus, you receive everything that God requires of you. Everything that you need. It's all in Jesus. He's the package. In Him is everything you'll ever need. Righteousness with God, hope and joy and peace, the hope of heaven instead of hell, a heavenly mansion instead of a hellish hovel. Oh, will you be saved? Will you be saved today? Will you repent? Will you believe the gospel? I implore you on behalf of Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God today. Receive the righteousness of God. Surely as I live, says the Almighty, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But rather than they should be saved, turn. Why will you die when there's a Savior, when there's eternal life to be had in Jesus? Religion doesn't put eternal life into people's souls. Only Jesus does. He is the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, He says. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one gets right with God except through me, Jesus says. No other name under the entire canopy of heaven by which a person can be saved. Only the name. One name. One name only, Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus is His name. The Son of God and the only Savior of the world. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. Not Confucius. Jesus. Jesus alone can make you right with God and take you to heaven when your time on this earth is done. People, I plead with you on behalf of Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. You're heading towards a precipice, and over the edge of it is eternal death. When you've been there for 1,000,000, 10,000,000 years, you've still got eternity to go. It's never ending. The flames are never quenched. The fire is never put out, where the worm never dies, a conscience that will gnaw you for all eternity. The righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, the righteous requirements of God are revealed in the gospel, in God's Son, Jesus Christ. You need Jesus, you need Him desperately, you need Him today, you need Him now. Be reconciled to God before you go over the edge of that precipice. I tell you these things because I love you and don't want you to go to hell. Don't want that to be your end. I want you to be saved. I want you to enjoy heaven with God's people. But you must repent, you must turn around, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you cannot be saved. A man in great fear in the Bible cried out on one occasion. The divine anger of God was revealed to him, and he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer was given to him, "I'm giving you today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Salvation, people, is what the Bible's about. Not religion. It's good news. And it's about a person. And His name is Jesus, and He loves sinners. He loves sinners. He loves them so much, He was willing to die for them. He loves them so much, He rose from the dead. But He's coming again. He's coming again, people. But He's not coming as a baby in a manger. He's not coming to die on a cross again. That's all been done. He's coming with His holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all those who do not know God. and who obey not the gospel. It's my question to you. Not asking you, are you religious? I'm asking you, are you righteous before God? I'm asking you, do you believe? I'm asking you, have you been born again? Are you saved? Because you need to be. You need to be. The divine anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth in their unrighteousness, in their wickedness. Repent of it, people. Be reconciled to God. Come to Jesus today and get right with God. If your house was on fire, and if your neighbor's house was on fire, and your neighbor was in his house, asleep, unaware of the fire, what would you do? Well, I'll tell you what you would do if you loved your neighbor. You wouldn't just knock on his door, you would kick his door in, and you would drag him out the flames before he perished. If you loved him, that is. I love you and I come to you because you're perishing, because your house is on fire. I wonder you can't smell the sulfur. I wonder you can't feel the flames of hell licking at your feet already. This is a sinful and adulterous generation. Repent and believe the gospel while there is yet time. I would drag you from the flames myself if I could. I love you and only want salvation for you, that's all. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy because I love you? I tell you these things in order that you might be saved and that you might go to heaven. God has revealed His righteousness. He has revealed His divine anger. He's revealed His judgment coming. People, reality. I know it's far, far too much for some people to bear, but that's reality. Get real about your sin. Get real about God. Get real about repentance. Fly from the wrath to come. Fly from the judgment of God into the arms of Jesus, the Savior who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Did He give Himself for you? Did He die for you? Will you repent now? Will you believe now? Not tomorrow, not next year, not at the end of your life. You haven't got these. All you've got is today. That's all you've been given. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. One day at a time. That's all you got. Today, people, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, but repent and believe the gospel, and you will be saved. You would like to have a copy of God's Word, copy of the entire New Testament, offered to you free of charge, without any cost or obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. It's God's precious and holy Word. You'd like to have a copy and look into these things. So